Hello and welcome to Ilani Talks, a podcast focused on redefining self-care and love for your mental health. I'm your host, Ilani Salcedo. Throughout the podcast episodes, I share my own experiences while others feature some truly wonderful guests. Guest Amber Hagberg is featured in this episode as she shares many gems about yoga and living with it as a consistent practice. She also speaks about the belief systems she's had to let go of, self-care, inner strength, and much more. Listen and learn how to be compassionate with yourself no matter what. Amber, it's so great to have you here today on Ilani Talks for an episode.
Thank you for having me, Ilani. I'm so excited for our conversation today.
Before we share any gems, can you share what you do and what you want to be known for?
My name is Amber, and I live in Costa Rica, where I am a yoga teacher and life coach, helping women to prioritize themselves through the practice of yoga. And my goal is to be known as someone that is making massive global impact, helping women to prioritize themselves through the practice of yoga as a way that you live your life. So more than just an exercise or something that you do, but rather the way in which you are, an embodiment of yoga.
That's such a lovely message and so powerful for women who definitely, we need that encouragement and belief in ourselves. So I love that you're doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you said it best, like the belief in ourselves, it gives us so much power to know that we don't need anything else outside of ourselves.
Exactly. Let's begin our conversation by diving into the topic of yoga. As a yoga teacher today and practicing it for as long as you have, what influenced you to begin practicing it?
The influence of yoga really came into my life at a time where I was depressed, I was sad, I was overweight, and I just was trying to find something that worked. I was in drugs and alcohol and food and trying to go to the gym and trying to eat healthy. And yoga was the first place I didn't have to try. It was a place where I was like, I just was. And so when I found this freedom of yoga, it wasn't something I had to try to do anymore. It was like, I need this.
Oh, and that's such a great explanation of what yoga could be for so many and for anyone who's able to really indulge in the practice, that you could just exist as you are. It's judgment-free zone, so to speak. And all you have to do is really show up.
And that's what I love so much about yoga is I tried out for volleyball, for basketball, for all these different things, and I didn't make the cut. And yoga accepted me as I was.
And that kind of goes into our next question. So what has yoga done for your self-care and personal development?
It became my way of life. When I started practicing yoga, it wasn't easy in the beginning every day to wake up and give myself time. I was also like many other women that I work with. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. And later never came. Until I got to a point where doing yoga in the morning became a priority, because it primed myself for the day. And so yoga became a practice that started my day. And then eventually it became the practice to end my day. And now it's like breathing, sitting in silence, moving my body is a way in which I have to incorporate my lifestyle, something I have to do on a daily basis. But what I love about it most is like the daily self-care practice and rituals that came from yoga. It became more than something I just did in the morning and the evening, but it carried through into my relationships with my partner, with my sister, with my mom. And what I found is the things that I was learning about myself and the things that it was doing for me in my life, it was also enhancing my ability to relate to the external world around me.
And that's such a great point to make about what yoga does, is not only the practice at the moment, but like you said, it carries out throughout your day and into your relationships and into how you exist in the external world. Although I believe like the most important part is your inner self in order to exist better. It ebbs and flows between the inner and the external because, you know, we exist. So I love you mentioning with that part of yoga.
Yeah, and I think that you nailed that point there, is we can change our external world all we want, but we always show up as ourselves. So if you change your external world, but you're not working on your inner world, it doesn't matter what the outside world looks like because you're the same inside. The more that we grow and develop who we are on the inside, it enhances our external world to a point where it doesn't matter what's on the outside because we have so much on the inside we've been curating and working on.
And as you were saying that, I was thinking of how a lot of us could think, once I get to this place, either physical or physically, I mean, or this feeling of finding happiness, it's somewhere else. It's always coming back to you. Because you're somewhere different doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be happy. You might go through a stage where, you know, it's different and you're exploring and wherever it is that you find yourself. But I think it's so important to remember and continuously say that you always have to make sure that you're okay inside. So the external, while yes, it influences you, is not where the energy should be in and the focus should be in 100%.
Exactly. The first place we can focus is inside. And no matter what happens outside, we always have that internal place to go to. So when the external world is chaotic, life is happening, there's still a place inside where there can be peace and happiness and joy. Because if we're constantly chasing outside, thinking if the next thing happens or this changes, I'll be happy, we'll always be looking for the next thing. But if we can find that sense of like what we practice in yoga, santosha, contentment, that it doesn't matter what happens outside of us because we can find contentment in the moment as it is.
And how does your yoga practice keep growing with you today? And what opportunities has it manifested in your life?
The thing about yoga is you see what's going on inside of you, outside of you. So every time you get onto the mat, your experience is different. When I first started going to yoga, it was this place of peace, serenity, connection to myself that I never had before. And as that started to evolve and I started to really get to know myself and build a relationship with myself, what yoga started to do for me was not only enhance my physical, my body, how I felt, but it started to change what I wanted to eat and who I wanted to be around. It gave me stronger boundaries and who I like spent my energy in. And if something wasn't serving me anymore, it gave me the confidence to walk away from it. And so I started choosing things that made me feel better. Whereas, you know, before yoga came into my life, it was the victim role. Why me? Why is this happening to me? And once I started to take accountability for my life, things started to unfold where it was like, no, this is a choice. And it gave me the power to start making different decisions. And the confidence that yoga gave me from, you know, being so inflexible, being 35 pounds overweight, not knowing the left from the right, to being able to balance on my hands and flip into these like exotic backbends, that confidence that I built through consistent practice got me to move to Colorado, move to Costa Rica, travel around the world leading yoga retreats and teacher trainings. And it gave me the ability to believe in myself, and it showed me what happens when we consistently show up for ourselves. The foundation that yoga gave me in myself allowed me to create this external world outside of myself that I once didn't believe I was capable of.
Well, that's such a beautiful evolution so far, how it's made those changes for yourself. And I kind of want to change the lens just for a little bit with this next question. What have you seen that yoga has done for others when it comes to their own self-care?
Before COVID, I was leading yoga teacher trainings and retreats in person here in Costa Rica. And since COVID, I've transitioned to more life coaching online using the yogic philosophy. And what I've seen through other women is like, they're no longer lashing out on their kids. They're finding this pause. They're being able to cultivate inner peace. Like, Amber, I can't believe the amount of freedom I feel, even though nothing outside of me has changed. I've seen women pull their kids out of schooling and start homeschooling them because their values weren't in the school system anymore where they were living. I've seen people walk away from 25-year careers or 25-year marriages because the practice of yoga allowed them to see that this wasn't serving them anymore. I've seen such like huge life changes in these women when they started to prioritize themselves. They got clear on what in their life wasn't working. And so being able to witness their evolution through contemplation, journaling, self-reflection, and the power it gave them to make these changes in their lives was like, wow, this practice of yoga works in so many different ways. And, you know, the women that I work with always have a different story of the evolution, the transformation they experience, but it's always something that they need.
It's amazing how it translates into your life once you start a practice, once you start consistently doing it. Because I think that's one of the major things I always try to share or speak about, or have, you know, guests come on the podcast to speak about that. When you want that inner growth, or you want to just develop better and have better habits and break through certain mindsets that no longer serve you, that it's not right away that it happens, that it's a consistent practice. And that's why it's called a practice, because you need to continuously come back to it. So I'm sure that you see that, like you just mentioned, with the women that you work with, especially when you're getting that feedback of what it's done for them during the moments where they probably would have been different if they didn't have this practice in their life.
And it is through consistency. And one of the things is, it's like not instant gratification. It's something that you get to see unfolding over a long period of time. And so when you allow yourself the space to trust everything's unfolding as it should. Like, I just had a conversation with one of my graduates yesterday, and she's like, she wanted to get this house. It didn't work out. She was devastated. She wanted to get this job. It didn't work out. She was devastated. And as she graduated the program, she found the perfect house and had a job interview. And she's like, if there's anything that I've learned, it's everything is happening in the right time. I just had to stick with my practice.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations to her. You've been through challenging moments, as you already mentioned, but what advice can you give someone today, and how can they build up their inner strength?
Trust that what you're going through right now is building you for what's to come. Oftentimes when we're going through those hard moments, we can't see the other side. We can't see the why. But if we can just drop into the breath, drop into the presence of the moment and allow the moment to be as it is. I think one of the hardest practices that we can do is be in those hard moments and trust that there is another side. Going through a heartbreak, losing someone you love, changing careers, these things shake our inner worlds. But there is another side, another story, another chapter that we can't see. And if we try to rush it or escape from it, we don't get to see all the lessons that come from that challenging time. So when you're in it, be in it fully and trust that the universe is giving you what you need, not necessarily what you want. And I know that when I was going through some of the hardest times, I didn't believe it. I had a miscarriage. I lost someone I really loved and wanted to marry. Like, these things happened and I couldn't have imagined life without him. And I wanted to just press fast forward. I wanted to get through the heartbreak. And now, 3.5 years later, I can't even imagine what my life would be like if I was still with him or had a child with him. And so I know what it's like to be so submersed into what we think we want. But if we can drop into that space of trusting that the universe has something greater planned, we'll come out with inner strength that we didn't know we were capable of, just as when a woman, you know, gives birth to a child.
And I think trust is so important, and what allows us to really go through what we need to, even though I'm sure like anyone could really relate to just going through hardships that in the beginning you don't really want to go through the motions of going through it. It's very easy to want to feel like to flee it or to numb the pain, or you know whatever it is that happens to each individual. And I want to also say that trust isn't just, you have to work with it as well. You need to trust, and you need to also be working towards what you want to, but with a little bit more grace and ease and the breath, like you mentioned, to always remember that you have that. Today, I actually read somebody's Instagram story, and it was a book that they were reading, and they highlighted that the one thing in your life that you have when you're born and when you die is your breath. And I was just like, that is such a beautiful thing to always remember to come back to, especially when you're going through difficult times. Just remember to breathe, because your breath changes when you're stressed. Notice that. It changes when you're excited. So notice that as well. So I think that's just such a beautiful thing to also remember when trusting is a little bit more difficult than easy through the process.
Yeah, exactly. And I think trust is something, you know, like in a relationship that you have with someone else, you slowly have to build that trust over time. The same thing happens for us. Like when we're going through these harder times, each time we drop into that challenging moment, we come out the other side stronger. We're able to trust the experience of life even more. And I loved what you said about the breath and it being the only thing that we have when we arrive and when we leave. Is one of the things that I always say is, you know, we come into this world alone and we leave this world alone. And the breath is that clear indicator that we're alive. And so when we are sad, when we are angry, when we are crying, we're holding the breath, we're holding that experience. But when we're breathing deep, we're really allowing ourselves to feel the moment fully rather than hold in that experience or emotion.
Whether you're in a difficult stage of your life or not, how do you strengthen your inner resilience?
My practice. And with that, my practice is constantly changing. Sometimes it's journaling and meditation. Other times, you know, it's an hour or two of the asana, the movement practice. Sometimes it's surfing. And so I think that for me, the inner resilience comes from always prioritizing myself and my self-care through, you know, body scrubs and face masks and time with myself. And trusting that these natural evolutions of what my body needs day to day, moment to moment, is building me from the inside out.
And it's always changing depending on what we're going through, or just sometimes we need, and our body tells us that we need something different. We need to maybe challenge ourselves a little bit more, or take it easier, or find a different practice, or add onto our existing practice. So it's ever changing, just like we are.
Exactly. And I used to be one that was so rigid with my practice. And then I realized that when we allow ourselves to be more in the flow and the flux and change of what our body's needing, we can trust, build that trust, as we were talking about, of what do I actually need in this moment? Like, how can I serve myself? How can I take care of myself today? And sometimes that means laying in bed, eating chocolate, watching Netflix. And other days it means, you know, going out and having a walk and being in the sunshine. So trusting that whatever it is you need to take care of yourself moment to moment, day to day, it doesn't have to be the same.
For the latter part of our conversation, I'd like to discuss belief systems within us and their effects. What type of beliefs have you had to overcome about yourself, life, and anything else that comes up as I'm asking this question?
The first thing that comes to mind is not feeling like I was enough. For so many years, I would write, I just want to, like around the full moon, I would write, I want to let go of not feeling enough. I didn't feel like I was enough to move to Costa Rica and run yoga retreats. I always thought someone else was better or more in the flow of their teaching than I was. I never thought that I was worthy to be someone that could move to Costa Rica. I never thought I was worthy of someone that could run my own business. I was always working for someone else because I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust in my abilities. And I had to really overcome this jealousy and comparison that I grew up as a safety mechanism, grew up with. And it kept me safe for so long that I had to overcome that. I had to overcome the thought and belief system that I needed to work harder to be successful. I had to do more. I wasn't enough if I wasn't achieving something else, if I wasn't doing more. And for me, it was really everything that I overcame in my belief system had to go back to the biggest belief was I'm not enough. And it showed up in so many different ways.
I could definitely relate to that. I think that comes up, especially as you start diving into your own work as a business owner. I mean, I've been doing what I'm doing, not necessarily podcasting, but the work that I really do as, in a sense, my full-time, my own work, it took me a long time to really fully trust myself. And even till this day, I've been doing it for 8+ years. I still have those moments where I'm like, am I really enough, or do I really stand out, or what am I able to offer that's different but still really me in the market as well? You know, I think that's something that people should always be really aware of. Like, people who have their own businesses still have those moments where self-doubt kind of comes in, but we need to be mindful and know that, like, we're able to do this if we have this passion inside of us. And that little voice that I'm sure that you have as well is always just keep going, because this is really for you, you know?
Yeah. And I always used to take fear of moving to Costa Rica, moving to Colorado, leaving this job, doing my own thing. And I always had fear in the back of my mind that what if it didn't work out? And so every time I took a step forward, I was like, you can always go backwards. And my safety net was reminding myself I could always go backwards. And then one day I was like lying in the pool in Bali, assisting one of my teachers in a yoga teacher training, looking at the stars. And I was just like, you're not going backwards. You know, like, you don't have to use that safety net anymore. You're just going to keep going forwards. And then when, you know, business gets tough, relationship gets tough, I remember that it doesn't matter how many roadblocks I hit, that the work I do is my passion and I'm just going to keep moving forward. So when I'm in a contrasting moment, I just remind myself, like, before you have a baby, it's contraction. Before your business goes to the left, next level, it's contraction. Before you get married, there's contraction. And then the next level comes. So it's always just that reminder that we have to come back in to go out, to come back in to go out.
To kind of piggyback on everything you've been speaking about, what can you share with our audience about the influence their own self-beliefs have on their lives and how to make more space to reach their goals?
One thing that I always remind my students is you can't change what you're not aware of. So looking at your belief system around your job, your career, around your life and relationships, around money, around what you believe you're capable of, go back in and why is it that you're doing what you're doing? Are you doing what you're doing because it's what lights you up? It's what you want to be doing? Or is there some sort of belief or fear that's holding you back? And if there is that awareness of, it's not a bad thing to have those beliefs. The best part is you become aware of it. And once you become aware of it, you have the ability to choose differently. Where did that belief come from? Was it given to you through someone else, family members, or society? And is it something that you want to continue to let rule your life? And so this is the biggest momentum that we have in the women I work with, is when we look at our beliefs and why we're doing what we're doing, we then have the power to change. And so if you find yourself stuck in that contracting moment, in a moment of disbelief, ask yourself if you want to continue to carry that belief. And if not, what could a better, more supporting belief be for you that's in alignment with your values? Like, what you really want to believe in and how you really want to live your life. Like, what you do, is it in alignment with what you believe?
That is so valuable to always know for yourself. Are you aligning with what you actually believe in? Like you said, are you actually listening to your inner self and making sure that your life flows as much as possible? Because like we mentioned earlier about the external world, we don't have much control of that. All we could do is live in it and kind of think of what benefits us and how we could shift if needed, or really work more on ourselves to bring ourselves to that more alignment with what it is that we want in our life.
Yeah, exactly. Great word. Alignment. Finding that alignment in what it is that we truly want.
This next question, I'm really interested in, like, how group coaching influenced the people in it. So in your group coaching that you do for women, what biggest changes do you see when others either interact with each other or hear others' experiences, thoughts, and ways of living?
The ability to see that you are not alone. Your struggles are not just yours. It's a society-driven belief system that we have that can keep us where we are. And I think that the best thing I see in group coaching is the authenticity and vulnerability of knowing you're not alone and that you can be supported and find your tribe online and build this like lifelong relationship that gives you the ability to be like, oh, that inspired me. or, oh, wow, that's like me. And when you can see that relatability, I think it takes the pressure off of us. What I see a lot is like perfectionism. I need to be perfect. I feel guilty to take care of myself. But what if it doesn't work out? And when the other women share their own stories and their own hurdles and their own achievements, the other women get inspired and they start to feel a deeper sense of connection to something greater than themselves. And sometimes what happens is we take it on. We take on the weight of the world or these beliefs or ideas. And then when we start to realize that it's not just ours and it's a collective, there's this sense of community and family and connection and the ability to know that you're supported through what it is that you're going through and that there is another side.
I love the word community as you were sharing your answer. I was like, community just comes up as I'm hearing all of this. And I love that you mentioned that as well. I think it's so valuable to hear other people's story. And like you said, what you see most is people feel like they're not alone in whatever it is that they're going through or how they're thinking or the struggles that they're going through, that there's always someone out there that can relate and empathize and sympathize with you and really understand what you're going through. And I'm sure like you see it multiple times in the group coachings that you do, that it's like a universal thing, no matter where you live or where you're from, we all go through struggles and challenges. And we all have kind of like the same feelings in a sense, maybe not the same experiences of why you have those feelings, but the feelings are the same, you know?
And when we have those feelings that are similar, it gives us strength and connection. And I think that now more than ever, yeah, we have phones and we have social media, but we're really missing true connection. And every woman that goes through my program is always like, I can't believe the community that I created. It's one of the biggest things because we can struggle to find people, quote unquote, like us, like-minded people, community. And I found like through the yoga space and mindfulness, self-care, wellness, like there's just this tribe of people that are so like me and so different. You know, we all have similar stories that are different colors. And when we bring that sense together, it really allows us to feel connected to something greater.
To close out our conversation, can you fill in the following sentence? When practicing self-love, it takes blank to be compassionate with yourself, and blank will be the reason you believe in yourself more.
I think that it takes courage to be compassionate with yourself, courage to look at yourself in your highest moments and your darkest points.
Beautiful. Thank you for being here, Amber, and sharing what you have with our listeners. I know that they'll find value with everything that you shared.
Yes, thank you so much for having me and really enjoyed this conversation today.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Ilani Talks. Refer to the show notes for details we discussed in this episode and more about the guest. To get in touch, send a DM on Instagram at Ilani Talks. And if you enjoy this podcast, visit ilanitalks.com to sign up for the newsletter at the very bottom of the homepage. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive information that only subscribers get. Until the next one, with all my love, Ilani.